Welcome to Econ 91.9, your weekly look at how the peninsula works. I'm Shaylin Cochran. This week, continuing to unpack the full costs of the Swan Lake fire. Senator Peter Michicki got a meeting together this week with officials from an alphabet soup of local, state, and federal agencies. They talked about how the plan to fight or not fight the fire unfolded and how those plans changed as conditions on the ground changed or didn't change. It took months for dousing rains to return to the Kenai this fall, and until they did, a number of businesses that rely on access to the Kenai River, either directly or indirectly, suffered. Among the state officials at Wednesday's meeting was the new director of the State Division of Parks, Ricky Geese. He explained how commercial guides up and down the Kenai were affected.
It wasn't just the businesses that were impacted who used the upper river. It was also the businesses that used the lower river and the middle river for fishing out of primarily. And that the road closures, many of the folks, while they are out-of-state clients, we have a lot of in-state clients. People would be listening to the news, hearing road closures, and they just didn't want to take the chance of being stuck on one side or the other. And so that's what we've heard, is that all across the whole businesses that operated within the Kenai River Special Management Area, whether they're on the lower, middle, or upper river, were impacted. So it's not just the businesses in Cooper Landing that were impacted.
The road and river closures prompted some guides to look for other areas to fish, but permitting issues came into play, Geese says.
And one of the issues that we heard was that while they may have had a commercial use within the Kenai River Special Management Area, they were also then trying to get commercial use for other areas within the Forest Service or within the refuge. You know, where else can I take clients? Can we go up to Kenai Lake? One of the issues we were looking at were motorboats. Can they go up into Kenai Lake so that there won't be the public safety issue if we have clients, or you know, a road opens up or closes down? So those are things that when we move forward, like to put on the agenda for looking at, is commercial use permits and emergency use situations. Can those be, can areas open up for activity where somebody may not have a commercial use permit?
Commercial fishing guides weren't the only operations hampered by the fire. However, those closures on the river didn't translate to better numbers for the drift and set net fleets in the Central District. The 1.8 million mostly Kenai and Kasilof bound salmon harvested in Cook Inlet were still barely more than half the 10-year average. And out of the water, too, trappers had a different set of concerns.
We talked about trap lines, including trap lines for businesses, so that if there's planned closures in advance, that some of those businesses, if they had 4 to 6 hours advance notice if a road closure is going to go into effect, then they can pivot and go to these different locations for day activities. That was something that we heard.
According to the government agencies that fought the fire, the total cost on that end was just short of $49 million. The full economic costs, though, are a bit tougher to pin down. Geese says for guides, the real damage occurred in a relatively brief time frame, but in fishing, that can mean the loss of basically the whole season.
These businesses have been impacted anywhere from 30 to 70% of their business income, especially in August. I think there's probably like a 6-week window in which these businesses were really impacted. How do they follow up, basically, if they need economic assistance? And that's something that we've been approached with, and we're trying to direct people to the appropriate places.
The first stop for that is probably the Federal Small Business Administration. When Governor Mike Dunleavy declared the Swan Lake fire a disaster in June, it made loans available through the SBA of up to $2 million for businesses that qualify. The deadline to apply for those loans is July 8, 2020. Now time for this week's number, 50, as in years. November 4th was the 50th anniversary of the first LNG exports out of Nikiski to Japan. Deliveries from the plant in Nikiski almost made the half-century mark. Plant, of course, shut down operations, including exports, back in 2015. And that will do it for this week's episode of Econ 91.9, all of which you can find on our website, kdll.org. For Jay Barrett, I'm Shaylin Cochran. Have a great weekend.